All right, we're here for 10 emotional needs of the soul being released. Powerful one, very powerful one. And first of all, I owe you all a humble apology. All this time, I've had the date in the email saying that the retreat was December 6th and 7th, Friday and Saturday, which is really difficult for a lot of people to do because they work on Fridays. My apologies. It's supposed to be the 7th and the 8th, Saturday and Sunday. Hopefully that actually makes things easier for you to be able to attend and anyone that you've invited. So if you share that with anybody that you've invited to come so they know that, unless they work on a Saturday or Sunday and that's unavoidable, we're going to hit somebody that works those days. But I found typically fewer people work on Saturday and Sunday. So those are the 2 days. And so that you have the times. Did that, by the way, did that mess up any of you that it means you can't come now? Aruna? We can't hear you.
I scheduled myself for Saturday and Sunday. It had to be a Saturday. I could choose Sunday or Friday. I chose Sunday. So now Sunday, I don't know if I can.
No. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'm still thinking that I will arrive on time to catch up somewhere, but I will join in a little late maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My apologies. I'm
my really, bad, ma'am. I should have checked with you.
Oh, no, no. I am, as Ariane knows, over the years, I have to watch and watch and watch. My sense of time and dates has never been great, not since I was a little girl. So I thought I had checked, triple checked that. I don't know what year I was looking at. I may have been looking at December 2021. I don't know how I got those dates. So we will record it. At least we will record it, but I'll hold some energy that maybe it will still work out that you can be there. And the time, so you know what time. On Saturday, we start a little late because we have the gold circle scheduled for the first of every month. So I'll still be meeting with the gold circle in the morning. So we'll meet at 9 o'clock Pacific time. And we go for 7.5 hours, which is 4:30 Pacific time. And we'll take a half an hour break in the middle of it to be able to eat. And we will take a couple of short breaks as well. Not as leisurely as the French would. They'd spend an hour and a half for a meal, which is really lovely. But we're meeting from, you know, different places all over the world. And I really don't want to have a really long break unless we need it, because for some of you, that's going to get really late at night. Sunday, we'll start a little earlier. So that'll be 8 o'clock Pacific time. We'll finish at 3:30 Pacific. And I'll send these to you in an email. And in fact, I did the last email so that you can transpose that into your time zone. And that way, hopefully, at least we found last year that seemed to work pretty well for most everybody. It's a little tough for some of the folks in Australia, but for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, it works pretty well. And it will be recorded, and we will be, I've been praying about this. I knew I was going to take you into journeys. I didn't know which ones. And it just became very clear that we will be doing the four prescriptions, which, as Ariane knows, is an incredible journey when you do all four. This is kind of, it's a big deal. We usually save that for our women who are apprenticing in the water ceremonies. And it is because it's such a powerful journey when you do all four and go through all four. So we'll go through the four prescriptions, which are surrender, acceptance, desire, and commitment. So when you finish, you really have a whole new view of where you are in your life cycle and what is opening for you next, where spirit is calling you. And Ariane is taking you into something really special. She is going to do an ancestral lineage clearing. Nice. So lots of yummy stuff. For those of you that have been to a lot of the retreats being done as part of, you know, classes, it's a way that some of us are taught to put that all together. In my experience, some of those retreats are basically a build up to a pitch to sell a bigger product. And I have not found those kinds of retreats to have very much content. That is not the case here. This is content rich, very rich. So when you're letting other people know, this is a powerful experience. This is what I do for my apprentices when they meet in my home with me and we go deep for 2 or 3 days. This is what it is. So it will be a very rich experience. Plus you get an ancestral lineage clearing and those are awesome. So if anything came up while you were working the 10 emotions, right, Ariane, they're going to get a chance to go back and clear that in your history, your ancestors' history. And and then I mean, that's it. We will just have a powerful 2 days together to bring it to a close and celebrate. So please do let the people you're inviting know the correct dates with my, you can tell them I'm apologizing humbly for any confusion I've contributed, and then get their name and email to me and I'll send them what they need to be able to get on the call. And we do look forward to having them. It actually has added a lot of breadth to our experiences because we're kind of in the flow and they bring new questions because this is new, often new for them. And that's very cool because we get that lovely fresh beginner's mind coming in to the space and it's good for all of us. So let's see, any questions about the retreat that I can answer? One thing, and feel free to let me know if you have a question. It is a good idea to have food made ahead of time because a half an hour isn't very long. And if you can the night before, prepare a little bit of food so that you can just sit down and eat. It makes it really nice, makes it pleasant. And Aruna, you had a question?
Since it'll be probably starting at around 9:30 Indian time and going all the way into the wee hours of the morning, I would be probably leaving the retreat somewhere in the middle. Yeah, and I will pick it up from the recording. Again, the following day, I will do the same thing. Hopefully on Sunday, I stay the whole time.
That would be awesome. And that is what most people do. That's why we record it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's see, anything else that makes it easy? Bring what you need. Be mindful that we're journeying. So if you're a person who gets cold in a journey, you might want to have a wrap, a blanket, a shawl, some socks you can take on, you know, put on, take off, that kind of thing, to take care of yourself. If you're a person who gets hot, the same kind of thing, you want to be able to, you know, take off a sweater or whatever so that you're comfortable in your in the journeying. Make sure you have lots of whatever you like to drink. I always keep a pitcher of hot water with me. Make sure that you have that. We do drink between journeys, and often when you're journeying like that, you find you need more to replenish your body. Another thing to be mindful of when you're going into these deep trance states, we discovered this. I actually found this when I was researching some of the monks that meditate for days on end. They drink green tea in between. And I went, oh, of course they do, because it helps you stay present. So when I'm journeying, green tea is harsh for me, but I'll have a little bit of coffee throughout. Not a lot, not enough to get jittery, but enough to keep me present. And I find that way I don't get super, you don't get as sleepy in the process of going into meditation and deep trance states. So you just might think about it. And I've I've noticed that the ladies sometimes bump it up a little. So if you're used to drinking like white tea, you might have a red tea. If you're used to red tea, you know, you might have caffeinated tea, just a tiny bit more than usual. And your body usually does well with it. Most people don't eat as much when you're in these kinds of trance states for a couple of days. You don't need to eat as much most often. So light foods, nothing heavy on your body. And just be mindful of what your body likes that helps it feel in balance. You can fast if you're used to doing it, but I would not recommend fasting if you're not used to it. This isn't the time to test it out. Sleeping, it has a tendency, as I said in the page about the retreat, it stimulates the dream time. So just be aware that when you finish the retreat, if you're, for some of you, let's say on the East Coast, that's going to be later at night. I guess if you have a guest coming who's from the West Coast, like Ariane and I are, you don't want heavy things after your meditations. It's not a good idea to sit down and watch a movie where they're blowing up stuff. That's not a good idea. You know, you kind of lose the benefits of the dream time. For you, Aruna, it will be great. You'll journey and then you'll go to sleep, right? And Charmaine,
it'll in be the journey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Continue on. Charmaine, for you, it might be read books that are spiritually oriented. If you're going to watch something lighthearted and uplifting that works with the same energy that you've been in, and it will carry you right into the dream time in a really beautiful way. And it's late for Marta, but she's a night owl, so you'll do your own thing. Yeah. I would invite you to be aware of that and write it and give yourself a few minutes in the morning to capture your dreams. We do typically take a few minutes to reflect on our dreams in the retreat, and it's wonderful. And for those of you that haven't done it, when Ariane and I lived together, we got in the habit of every morning, we talked about our dreams over breakfast. And then I carried that tradition right on into my marriage with Jeffrey, so that there is this awareness of this complete life cycle in every 24 hours. It's really rich. So you can try that out during the retreat and see how you like it. It's fun and it's rich. Let's see. As you're inviting someone to come there, I do want to be aware, we did have a suggestion about inviting someone who, when I sensed into her energy, it was going to be a strain for her. Let me explain just a little bit. This ceremony, when someone comes, and even if it's only for a day, and that's okay if all they can do is a day, far better to have that experience than, you know, not experience it. The journeys are ones where you really need to be able to be in the journey. It's work. It's not heavy work, but you've been in the meditations with me. It's moving energy. And it helps to be able to be really present to that energy. If someone comes to mind who you know really needs help right now, if it's purpose-oriented help, that's great. If it's they're doing some good healing work, but they're able to pretty much, you know, function in their lives, that will work for them. If they're in deep need of healing or deep depression, it won't serve them. And the reason is that if your body's in crisis, you need one-on-one work, because I can't give you enough attention in a group if your body's in crisis. And there's usually enough moving emotionally and physically that someone should be attending to you closely. If you are in deep, deep crisis, somebody who's like suicidal, this is not the environment for that. I'm not going to be able to give them enough attention. Yes, want to help them, but there are other ways to do that, and preferably more one-on-one where we can get down to the roots of what's going on for them. So just be aware of that. I know there are lots of people in need. There always are. The person that you invite to this needs to be able to participate in it and fully receive it and be able to partake and be a part of the group and the group dynamics and the group interactions. Does that make sense to you? As you're good. And I'm looking forward to meeting the beautiful people you invite. Be awesome. And I think I've got a couple of names in. Do get those names in right away. Tomorrow's my day to contact everyone and let them know. So what the time schedule is and send the Zoom links and all those kinds of things. So let me know. All right. Ariane, is there anything you can think of that may... Oh, Aruna, you have another question? No. Okay. Ariane, can you think of... Sorry, I'm doing that pen thing again. she gets after me when I do this. No, not nice.
No, I think you've covered everything. I think that was pretty thorough. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. If you have any questions, by all means, let me know. All right. And just send me an email. So I talked for quite a while, so I'm not going to talk about Released. I'm assuming that you've seen the video and that you've had a chance to connect to the meditation. What are you experiencing around the energy of Released? And the one thing I do want to say is that we are entering the time of year where we have an increase in deaths. This is the time of year, certainly in Western culture, where people tend to leave. They leave during our holiday season, and they leave during the winter, during the inward time. They tend to cross to the other side. So I can't think of a more perfect time for us to be, excuse me, talking about the energy of Released. Okay, so I'm going to be quiet and listen for a while. What are you noticing about the energy of Released?
And one thing I would also like to address is that we are at the end of a decade and we are moving into a new decade. And so we're clearing out everything that we have been building for this last 10 years. And we have all been going through an enormous growth period for this last 10 years. When we look back at how our lives have changed in this last 10 years and how the world has changed in this last 10 years, now is the time for us to let go of that past. Because from everything that I've been seeing astrologically and energetically, 2020 is going to be a time of great opening. It's a 4-year, which means this is a time of community. This is a time where it's going to be a gathering point, and I think it's going to be a gathering point for our energy and for us to come together. And so we need to let everything that we were clinging to in the past of our old identity, of our old stuff, to go so that we can step into our new freedom and move forward. And I know, you know, when I got to this release point again, I know that I have been releasing a lot in the last couple of months, and hopefully I'll be releasing more before the end of the year. And I know that I find a great freedom in release, because when I let go of the old stuff, the old beliefs, the old patterns, my old identity in clinging to those old beliefs of who I was and what I wanted and what I was attached to, all of a sudden, I feel like I can take a deeper breath and I can open to more. I can open to what new possibilities and potential are there that the universe has to give me. And when I get to this meditation, when I get to release, it's not only about letting go, it's also about opening. And particularly at this time of year, particularly when I go into December and January and go inward, it's about going inward to say goodbye, thank you, you have served me well, and it's time to go. That's my two cents for the day.
Thank you, Ariane. And thank you for the reminder about four, that being a 4 year that we're coming into, also a foundational number. So it's an awesome time to set new foundations for what you're creating. Yeah. So what's coming up for you around release? We've got about 10 minutes for each of you, so. What's coming up? Yeah, Aruna, please.
So for the first time, I have some notes which I'm going to look into. This meditation was different for me in many ways, that I could actually come out of it and write some notes. Normally, I never could pick myself in such a calm emotional place to write notes. I just stay with whatever's come, and then I'm lost in the emotions of it. But this time, I could actually write. So I remember when in the meditation, there was this thing about it exists as you exist. So everything is within. When I heard that during the meditation, it seemed like as I exist, which means that if I'm happy, it is happy. If I'm sad, it is sad. If I'm angry, it is angry. So then what is it, you know, that thing came up, and then this beautiful image of space, right? This night sky, that's what I saw. And in the night sky, it's almost like this NASA image of Earth and the space, something like that. And in that, I saw myself like a cell body with neon edge, blue color, neon edge. And I'm transparent, and I'm like this translucent, rather, jellyfish, transparent jellyfish kind, but not, it doesn't have tentacles or anything, but just a cell body with that edge. So I see within me, when you said release, it was just a part of me, the part of me that was not okay. And it was also the part of me which was okay. So there was that sense of owning space, you know, even about the pain. I heard somewhere you said about the pain. There was a state of equanimity in that, because I suddenly realized it's all in the cell. Everything is in the cell. What am I looking at for outside? What do I release? What is it that I need to release into? Because I am that space, and that space is me. So what am I releasing into? So it is... it's like this, right? Like you just have some ring which is free flowing. Basically, you can move in and move out, but there is a apparent, for lack of better words, something like an LED, neon blue, some kind of a boundary that's showing, but I am still that space. I don't know how to explain that, you know. So I felt that everything was within me, and in that, I could hold my mother. I could clear out with my mother. And I could hold her with so much compassion and love. And I saw her having no father, being raised by a mother, and she had to take care of her family the way it was handed to her, and all that pain and suffering she went through, and her bad marriage. And though my father was a great father, but not a great husband for her. So all of that, and in that loving kindness, I could hold her, and I could envelop her within that part of me. However, when it came to my partner, there was so much anger. I couldn't let go. I just couldn't let go. There was so much. And then this inner voice was, you still have to learn a lot more. There's so much more journey with this person. So I'm hoping that all my learning will give me the space to heal this and to work with it in such a way that I don't repeat it. That's the faith in which I did this meditation. But there was this deep sense of peace. I don't know how, I wasn't even perturbed that, oh my God, this anger came and I couldn't resolve it. And I saw that it was in this space, everything was. And that space was part of this whole big dark night sky, which was within this seemingly contained space, which is me. The night sky was also within that, and I was in a part of that night sky. So it was such a beautiful image, and I'm floating free, and I'm everywhere, and I could take the shape I wanted, and I could be who I wanted. I could choose from within me what I wanted to represent, and I really wanted to represent this compassion. That's where I wanted to put my energy in the meditation. Yeah, so all this was so beautiful, and the meditation was so deep, and it was really, really, really nice, man. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, and your voice was supporting that somewhere, you know. I was feeling that I was held. I was feeling that sense of being in a safe zone where I could go deep, where I could let these emotions come through, and where I could look into myself. Yeah. So that is what I had experienced. And I don't know what it is with my partner that I wasn't able to let go. And I'm okay with that, to stay with it and to work with it. It's not really. And I know there is something transgenerational here with him, because I see the same patterns with my parents and his parents. I still see my in-laws at loggerheads with each other. They're in their 70s and 80s, but still they're at loggerheads, and they haven't crossed, you know, that basic. They're not able to trust each other and be in a good relationship. So, yeah, I have carried this through generations and through families. So I'm sure I don't want to give this to my daughter. So I will work hard, and I will make sure that we come to peace with it. And thank you all for holding space. Aho.
So beautiful. And so beautiful that you found that release with your mother. That's huge. That's huge. Yeah. What a wonderful experience. I could feel it with you. It's like, like a big breath in and a big breath out.
It was that, ma'am, because I held her responsible for being abused somewhere in this journey. That she was my mother. She needed to be there and all that, you know. But today I could see how she did the best she did. And I was okay with that. You know, I could release that with her, and I could hold her in loving compassion. And I could be okay with that today. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful gift you gave yourself.
Yes.
And her.
Yeah.
Together.
I think so.
Yeah. Beautiful. Aruna, that was a pretty powerful vision. And in my tradition, sometimes you want comment on that, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just need to hold your vision. So it's your choice whether you want any response from the women or you just want to hold that as it is.
I would love responses if it is coming up for any of you. I would love to hear from you.
Okay. So floor is open, ladies. Indeed, indeed, indeed. I can't even do that. There we go. Oh, yeah. Rich, very, very rich. There is so much beauty that opens for us. And I also appreciate that you hit the place where, not this one though. Over here I can, here I can't. And I was just with Stephanie James, a psychotherapist that's writing a book with me on reclaiming our souls from sexual abuse. And we were talking about that we do hit places where we're not able to get to full forgiveness and we shouldn't push it. It's that even if we just go the tiniest bit, just a little ways, even if we can find compassion for ourselves for a choice that we made, you know. And if we think generationally where women had often felt they had fewer choices about the men they were going to be with, they felt as though once they were in a relationship, they had to stay. They didn't have the option to leave or to change the relationship in any way. All kinds of moral overlays about what a woman can or cannot do in a relationship. We were talking about how for centuries it's been compressed into a place where it serves the men, but not the women. And so it's been natural for so many generations for women to have resentments against men because we have felt trapped. And we are in perhaps a privileged position, many of us today, where we have choices. And the only way that we can get to those places with grace is with our compassion. And something that we talked about is in our experience and in watching our clients, it starts here with compassion for ourselves and the choices that we've made. And then it's easier to get to compassion for others. And you echoed that with your mother, that sense of compassion for yourself. And then there's this ability to get to your mother. So what I would offer, sweetie, is that this may be an opportunity with your husband actually to go deeper into yourself. There is a place in there of compassion for you. Does that feel true for you?
Not yet. In fact, when you said husband, I'm like, really, Ma? Yeah. I'm not there, maybe, but I will, as my spirit feels, I will. It's not that I hate him. It's that I'm angry. Yeah, I'm just angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't love him either. I don't hate, I don't love. I'm just angry. And deep sense of angry and anger and betrayal.
Yeah. And those feelings have a right to exist. Yeah. And they hunger for love.
Sure. And I'm sure he's also hungry for love because he came out of a marriage which was so broken and he was so broken and he was so abused as a child too, so I know that it's, but I'm not willing to be compassionate yet.
I totally get it. I do. Yeah, indeed. Go ahead, Marta.
Add something to the little heart Is it coming now? Is it? Can you hear me? Yeah. I was saying I'm going to add something to the little gesture, which is a sentence as I was hearing you, Aruna, about I don't hate him, I don't love him either. I got a sentence from my guru. He said, that's a funny fellow. He said, I love everybody, but I don't like everybody. So that was the sentence I was hearing when you were sharing that. Mm. Yeah.
Anyone else? It looks like we have a few connections that have frozen. Just, yeah. Release really calls us to a powerful place. Release asks a lot of us, doesn't it? It does. Charmaine?
Is it okay to share?
I think so. Aruna?
Okay. Okay. I meant share mine.
You're sharing.
Okay. Right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure there was no crossover there. Thank you, Aruna. This is same. I did a little bit of structure this time as well, just out of promising to make sure that I'm communicating in a more lineal way. It was fairly simple, yet it touched on a whole bunch of different areas for me. But how it showed up in its simplicity was being seen. Release my resistance of being seen. I have a lot of resistance there. Learned behavior of as soon as I am seen, I'm punished. And I believe this is why I have so many places that I come from. So as soon as I'm seen, I run to another room and I'll express a different aspect. And this comes from helping the person who is attacking to understand why it's not a good thing, or why it's causing pain. And I find that a lot of people who attack or do things don't understand the pain that they're causing. And because they're stuck in pain, their empathy is somewhere else. And I've tried and I've looked over it, and it was interesting how many things came up and how many different ways I try to help people understand while being perpetrated against or whatever, being in a certain situation that, and I really remember going, well, if you do this, this is what it's going to cause. If you go, and I go into many, many, many different rooms to help to elicit, to show, to express from a loving way and any way that they can align to that gives them that insight. But what I understand now is it's not my insight to give. Not at all. It's theirs to find. And they will find it when they're ready. So that, for me, is freedom. That's a release from that responsibility of bridging that for people who are in pain. And it has also caused a way of showing up meek, mild, and insecure, which then elicits that aggression out of people. Because I'm used to it. I don't like it, but I'm used to it. And that's the way I was accepted in, that I had to be extremely submissive and defer. Always in a place of deferral, and that is the only place I could be safe in. And I have found environments was just confirmed that over and over again. So I've taken in a lot. I have that there's sadness around that, because a lot of it was my own searching and not knowing, but not knowing, that I can stop anytime, that I can let that go, just release it. This also tied very strongly into me, which has been coming up, is empathy and the power of empathy. So there's those moments that I have where I am deeply connected and I feel everything run through me. It's like a whole different language that runs through, whether it's the birds, the grass, I literally feel the essence and the beingness. And one thing, and I like those places, and I like being in communion with, and I enjoy those heart spaces. But sometimes it's not always just a heart space. It's an awareness. It's just, it is as it is. And you don't have to be in a heart space to accept that it is as it is. You just have to be in a place of awareness, of consciousness, neutrality. And what I hadn't accepted was that if I can be this way with nature, then I can be this way with people. And it's been showing up a lot how I have been surfacing things in people, but it's translating through me, and extreme feelings and emotions that are coming out. And in the moment of expressing, I feel it's not mine. Not that I haven't had it, but that it's passing through. And in passing through, it's the same feeling that I get from nature. It's a pass through. It's just a different way of communicating. But this is also tied into what I talk about being under the umbrella of someone else, being drawn in and pulled in. That's that empathy. So the empathy is what draws and pulls in. It's the empathy that can also stand in a completely different place of creation. You don't need to empathize with just emotions that hold you down or create a certain resonance. You can have empathy with things outside of that that create healing or create, and not that negative emotions don't create healing, because they do. They elicit us to be in a different place. So I don't want to be misleading in that way, but it brought together different aspects of myself that have been showing up very loudly in the last while that center around the theme of empathy. And I was okay with absolutely everything. Just fine. I'm good with it all because I have that understanding. I have the ability to travel into these different places, but I don't always express that. And this is the first time that I've allowed myself to be okay with, I'm not always expressing me. Sometimes I'm expressing other people. And I'm holding space for other people. And I, even now, I get goosebumps are just like all over my entire body. That I have in the last, there was three that happened in a very short period of time. The very last one that made me believe for finally was I woke up in the middle of the night and this woman came. I could feel her emotions. I could taste her breath on my mouth. I could feel her illnesses, and it scared me. It scared me that if one thing is I need to be careful where I'm making my choices and to be a lot more aware of my own health. The other is I am not taking up enough of my own space that I'm allowing this much of her to translate through me. And it was also a gift to be able to see that if I have this level of empathy, I can have it in other things as well. And I can make the choice of what I align to. And it finally helped me to believe, which I had been resisting all of my life, that this is not possible. You can't feel at this level. You can't do this at that level. You can't do, I've resisted it my entire life and I've absolutely refused to believe. And given myself incredible excuses not to accept that this is a possibility, that that is just a part of me being crazy or not stable. But it isn't. I am stable. I can be crazy. That's okay too. But now is the responsibility of cultivating, growing, choosing, and moving forward in a much more responsible way. Accountable and responsible for that knowledge and what it carries. I can't be lazy anymore.
Great awareness of Charmaine. Really great. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear comment or do you want?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Comment, no comment. Everything is good. Yeah. Perspective is good.
Beautiful. So the floor is open, ladies.
That's a huge awareness, Charmaine. That's just huge. You've come such a long way. And to be able to accept and define and embrace your empathy and your awareness of yourself and others, and to be able to choose, I think is tremendous. It is absolutely tremendous and good for you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I don't know. It's something about Charmaine today, even before she shared, I thought it was her top. But she was so seen as soon as her screen came on. I felt her presence, and I think she rightly explained it. I could then find the link of what she was sharing, when she was sharing. Yeah, so seen.
Thank you, Aruna.
So beautifully seen. Way to go.
Thank you.
I don't have any comments, but I heard you.
Thank you.
I just so love, Charmaine, that you're claiming the depth of your empathy as real. That you feel others, that you role play with them, what they need you to play out. Because mm-hmm. I think that is part of women's empathy, and particularly women who are deep, what I call ultra sensitives. Really experience others at deep levels. And I love that you're aware that you need to be taking up enough of your own space. And that concept of being that space that others can step into and heal. They can find their truth in the space that you are. I would call it clearness. You might have a different word. And it's really what the grandmothers teach us, that we embody that sense of love and compassion. In fact, they would suggest that it's that, and it's okay, you may see it differently and whatever. It's just what I was taught, so I'm passing it on. They would say it is important to be in a loving space. That is ultimately the goal. So that when we're encountering their anger, or they are doing something that would normally trigger us, or we're experiencing their pain at a level that's not healthy for us, that actually we're not reacting to them. Rather, we are that compassionate container and we meet their discomfort with compassion. And in that compassion, they are then able to rest. So Aruna spoke to that earlier, that sense of there is this work to do. She knows the importance of it, right? That any place within us where we are seeing. And neutrality and the observer's place is a very powerful place. It's very powerful. It's certainly better, in my experience, than being in a reactive place, which is where most of us live, right? The environment is controlling us.
Yeah.
And our emotions and our experiences, because we've got this stuff coming at us, right? And you talked about that experience as a child of, if you're seen, it means you're punished. So the world keeps reflecting that belief back, right? And those are the experiences that cause us to feel like we are victims of our environment, that somehow we did not have choice. So it's an opportunity to choose anew, to be reborn. And what the grandmothers teach us is that the pathway to that rebirth is compassion. So for the self that learned that it's, that if you're going to be seen, you're going to get punished, compassion for that precious one who learned that. And then as that becomes clear space, the capacity to hold a compassion for others who were going through their inner dramas. Then it is, then we are able to be that space that they step into. And here's the beautiful thing, and this works with spirits, by the way. If you're working on protection stuff, this works with people, embodied spirits, is that they will, in the presence of that much love and compassion, either step in because they're like, whoa, this is powerful, and I want me some of that. Or they go, I can't handle that much love and truth, thank you very much. And they will back off. So it becomes a natural protection as well. Do you see? So the transference isn't so easy. That's why I was sharing that. The transference isn't so easy. So you have come to this powerful clarity about yourself that will offer you ultimately protection and service all in one. Well done.
Thank you.
Oh, you ladies. Oh, I just love how deep you go. Oh my gosh. I can't tell you. So beautiful to see. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Thank you.
Marita, what you got going, girl?
My piece actually started with the class. When Misa is sharing about the resistance to compassion, and I found it interesting how yesterday I was working with one of the audios of my work, and that was indeed the theme. And as I was revisiting it, what I understood and what I felt was that the permanence of the work, the continuing the journey together, that was allowing us, both me and the person I was with, to feel safe in the space, safer in the space that compassion ultimately is. Because to me, it is still an exploration. I'm not established in it. And I find it to be a very creative modality. How is it that one accesses compassion and... it might change, right, from time to time and from person to person. And so that's when I was hearing Misa explaining about the resistance to compassion. And I, as I was yesterday present with that work, I was in the here and now, meaning yesterday, asking me and God, how is it that indeed we go deeper into this? Because I could really feel that the lady was in that resistance to love. So that's what I figured out, that it is the permanence. It's just continue to walk together, and eventually it will shift patience and endurance and staying together. It's not really an automatic place, right? I remember when I started to work with Misa that I tried all my logic and it didn't really work. Right? So I got it. It's about going into compassion. Got it again. So I think I'm starting to be better able to to go to the place. So, and as I entered the meditation, the place that I entered was not a blackout, but it was a, I'm listening, but I'm not. I'm here, but I'm not. Was something, can't really call it pleasant. Something happening there. And I saw in the meditation what I saw, the only visual glimpse that I got was a balloon, like a child's balloon. And it's sitting on the floor somewhere. That's the only visual that stayed with me. The rest was going like, that's it.
We heard the balloon on the floor and then we lost you, honey.
And then I was saying that the rest of the experience was just hearing some vague words on the background, your voice, but I wasn't following it with my conscious mind. So maybe some part of me was following it, but was not my conscious awareness. And then when I became more aware of something was when I was singing. And that in that song, what I saw was a flash of the some islands that are here in front. They are called deserted islands. And these are the islands, what this image brought in was a memory or an association of when I was visited by that black bird, that Taruna searched the black soul. That would be the direct translation. That's what I think, or my child spirit thinks, that she flew into these islands. So that was the association I got. And that's when we started this work. That visitation happened about a week before we started this program. So it's kind of interesting how it comes as a memory at the end of it. And that was the time that preceded the beginning of some wild episodes with mom. With my mother, I've reported some. And it's interesting how they were parallel to the first emotional needs, wanted, received. So it might be very much informing how much I talking about empathy and all of that, as Charmaine was speaking, how much I absorbed right from the parents and the environment as I was. I'd be triggered at times, right? Cellular level, how Aruna was speaking. And at the beginning when I was singing, I had the feeling, was not very visual, but the feeling was of being in, word in English is, you know, when someone dies and then you are mourning the person, right? Velório is the Portuguese word. I don't know the English translation. It's like the person just died. It's the first hours or so when people are around. And this was in Egypt. The feeling, the setting was that it was taking place in kind of a tomb in Egypt. That was the feeling, not very visual. And this took me to when we worked with the first 10 emotions, first program. I designed some slides where Egypt was very clearly there. And that was with wanted and received. So whatever that is, was there. Mm-hmm. So something about this and death and the connection between the end of life and the beginning of life, right? Kind of a similar space, right? In between the worlds. I think that was it. And it was interesting when the islands came, the way I felt it was not like an image, was as if I was journeying above the water and into the, I was never in these islands. This was very fast, but it felt as if I was journeying in to the islands It's a natural reserve. People actually don't go there unless they have a permit to. And this also took me to another slide that I did for Received, with an image of the Mists of Avalon, the movie. And that image is the image when the main character, I forgot the name, when she's having sex for the first time with her brother, right? That's what actually takes place there. But she doesn't know it's her brother. So yeah, that image came with this feeling of the Mists of Avalon somehow, right? This is my nonsense thing making sense.
Wow. Do you want any comment, honey?
Yeah, sure. Perhaps you can create a little order in the chaos.
When you were talking about having the image of actually moving to the island, I, like you said, I thought that was the birds. That's how it should have gone into the island, right? That's how it felt to me. It's almost like a bird's view into the island. That's how I could experience it. And I actually got the visual along with you as you were explaining. Everything was so visual for me as you were sharing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I like the sharing. It's a lot of different aspects all over the place, and it definitely is a story that feels that way to me, and it's just a different way of seeing, of understanding. And even though it didn't all make sense to me, I enjoyed it. It's like a comfort place, because usually I have a lot of symbols that come to me, and then the symbols relate to each other within 6 months or so, and the story is unveiled. But sometimes it's just something that I'm working on that gets triggered, and then all these images start coming, and then the story unfolds in a bit later. So I loved it. Thank you for taking me with you. It was good.
Marta, I agree with Charmaine. It's like things come in symbols, and then it makes connections later. But I always love listening to you, because it's so similar to how I experience meditations and visions. Because sometimes they're visual, sometimes they're auditory, sometimes I just get feelings. But one of the things that you said I also experience, and that is when I'm in this program of the 10 emotional needs, I also find that it's circular. That the beginning is also the end, and when I'm in one, it connects to another, that connects to another, because they're all part of one. And it is all interconnected. Our emotions are interconnected. And what I start out with is also what I end with. And that made so much sense to me. And the journey makes so much sense to me. And I also think that is how we integrate it. It's that when it does become that circle, when it does interconnect, that's when we integrate it all in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And you know, you've made a beautiful story and integration of it. And I love what you said is, you know, you start out going, oh yeah, I get it. It's compassion. Yeah, let's go into compassion. And you just keep saying it. And it really doesn't make any sense until your body starts to feel it. And you start to experience it. and then you experience it with another, and you feel their resistance, and you feel your resistance, and all of a sudden it melts. And then you bring them into the experience, and that's when you know compassion. That's when you're in compassion, and you're there, and you can't say it. You have to feel it, and you're there. And bless you, Marta.
Indeed. I love that process where things are unraveling across time and space, and I'm seeing glimpses or hearing glimpses of it, or it's reweaving itself like a tapestry. And I find that if I don't try to logic it out, it works better. In fact, I love that you're having these experiences because it speaks to the depth that you're going into. This, to let it, let consciousness do the work so that our ego minds don't have to do it. It's so cool because more happens there, you know? And I also want to honor that a lot of medicines there, Arunas, I think, spoke perfectly to that sense of called remote viewing. But when you have that bird medicine, when you can see with a bird's eye, oh yeah, that is so cool. It's not one of my gifts, but I love it when I'm with people who see that way. It's powerful. And you have some other medicines that showed up. You talked about persistence with your clients. My elder used to say, great healers have badger medicine. They will stay with you and stay with you and stay with you until you make your breakthrough. And that persistence is often what we didn't have when we were young. Somebody who just was there with us until we could make the breakthrough in whatever it was we were discovering. And safety, that how do I help my client become safe? What does my client need to feel safe? Because that's when our resistance comes down. The walls come down and we're able to receive that love because we were trained to be resistant. If you think about what, you know, Charmaine, what you were sharing, to be seen means I'm going to be punished. We've all got those messages inside of us, and that's why we resist. It's not because we don't want love. It's because we've been trained that you have to protect yourself. And so that sense of safety is what lets the walls finally break down. And that persistence that someone is there and they're there and they're there and they're not going anywhere until finally you feel safe enough to release and boom. And then the healing really digs in. And I like to think of that as rabbit bunny medicine. You know, it's like if you can just get that bunny and that soft fur and hold it long enough, the fears, they're so fearful. They're so fearful. But they test you. If you can be present with enough patience and persistence and love, they will trust you. But if you don't have enough, they are out of there. So I like to think of the rabbit. It's like to remember to go slow and go easy and be gentle and people dying. So a thought, you may have different medicine, you know, different animals that you associate with that, but to know that, I want you to know that that sense of caring about the safety of your clients and the persistence and the patience are powerful qualities for a healer to have. And I really honor you for recognizing them. Yeah, indeed. So the next time I see you, beautiful ladies, we'll be at the retreat and we will spend our first hour on lesson 10, on session 10, on being remembered. So your guests will come an hour after you. So they'll start later in the day than we do, so that we have a chance to do session 10. And I just didn't want to push the retreat out any further closer to the holidays. You know, that just seemed like it was going to be too much. So I look forward to it. And can't believe we're here already. Oh my gosh, we're at 10. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work, ladies. Beautiful openings. And I honor you all for who you are and what you're discovering. So much. All right, I'm going to unmute us so we can give our love and Charmaine and didn't. There we go. All right. I love you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
See you.
Bye. Good night.
Lisa, could I have 2 minutes? Okay. Bye, everybody.
I don't know how to get out. I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Okay.
there we go.
Okay. I need to work next Saturday from 10 to 12. Is that going to cause a problem?
No.
I don't think
we'll just do it when you come in.
Sure. When do you want me to do the ancestral lineage clearing? Do you have any idea what the schedule is going to be like?
I haven't got it figured out that far.
Okay, that's fine.
But if it's 10 to 12 your time, that's 11 to 1. We'll probably take a lunch break in there.
Uh-huh.
So maybe a good time would be after lunch and then
on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted me to do it on a Saturday or Sunday.
Let's do it on, Saturday is kind of a short day.
Yeah.
Let's do it on Sunday. Does Sunday work for you?
Sure. That's fine. I'll be here. I'll be there all day on Sunday.
Let's do it Sunday because we do have a short day between the gold circle and then the being remembered and then maybe Sunday afternoon after lunch.
Sure. That'd be fine.
Perfect.
Okay. Great. I will see you next week and have a great weekend.
I will. You too. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.